This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Debris, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. So I had a client this week reach out to me about getting life insurance for a key employee. Last week, I talked to a client about getting life insurance for a loan. And today I got asked about how to deduct life insurance or if you can even deduct life insurance. Whether you have it, whether you think that you need it, or you think that you are never going to die, this week we are going to talk everything life insurance. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Reminder, if you want a question answered on here or just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Don't forget my new book, Beyond the Bays, a financial playbook for auto repair shop owners, which was inspired by many of your questions and most popular episodes on here, is available now on Amazon in Kindle and paperback. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services for your repair shop? Shoot me a message at 301-307-5413. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors. If you need to get your back office and parts reconciliation under control, let Wicked File give you a hand. And if you need to recruit top talent for your top team, give Promotive a call and let them help you just like they have hundreds, if not thousands, of other shops. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news, you don't have to go at it alone. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. This week, we kind of have a hodgepodge, right? Like, I tell people a lot, how do you come up with these ideas for episodes? There's not some grand plan behind it. It's really kind of something like this. I either hear about something, nothing at all, or it's like a sign from above that we need to be talking about this. So like I said in the intro, we're going to be talking about all things life insurance. I am going to try to cover this week every aspect that you would need to know about life insurance. Like, should you have it on a key employee? How much should you get? Why do people have it? Is this self-serving for you? Do we get a tax deduction for it? What types of life insurance are there? Is there a way to pick between the two of them? And then what makes sense for you? Just like anything on this, right, I'd like to give you a lot of the education side of it. You guys have probably heard of key person life insurance. You've definitely heard about life insurance, but specific cases of when this applies to you guys. Also, I'm not selling this. I think that this is one of the few times that you could probably ever hear someone talk about life insurance that is not selling you life insurance. Yeah, I mean, that's a big sales job. People are making a lot of money on it. And guys, remember, this is an insurance. If it was that great of a deal, it wouldn't be insurance. No one's in making any money off of it. Does that mean that there is not a time and place for it? Absolutely not. I have life insurance. Most of my clients have life insurance on it. I feel, and I'll put this kind of ahead of it, everyone should probably have some form of life insurance, right? Maybe it's very small. Maybe it's massive on it. But yeah, I mean, there's a reason we have insurance on it. Peace of mind, yada, yada, yada. Before we get too far into this, again, like this is going to be my opinion on it. If you are selling whole life insurance or universal life insurance policies and you want to send me an email educating me on the ins and outs of it, don't waste your time. That is not the point of this one. Just like when I talk about stuff for lawyers, I talk about stuff for accountants. I am not telling you I'm the expert. I'm telling you everything that I know about this so that you guys can ask the right questions, so that you guys can make an informed decision. You're going to be probably talking to the next person that is a commissioned salesperson. Do they always have your best interest in mind? I would hope so, but realistically, they probably don't. Let's kind of go down through what we see in shops, what we see on tax returns, how you guys can leverage this, and also maybe how you guys can do some of your back-end research on, hey, does this apply to me? Does this apply to my kids? Does this apply to my key employees? The first we're going to talk about is, like I mentioned, is a client that reached out to me that wanted to get life insurance on a key employee. What their question was is they had really just kind of, they're a lot earlier in their business stage on this one. They've done a really good job of working themselves out of the business and they have a really, really, really instrumental employee. They're not an owner, but it is a true key employee. What is a key employee? It means that it's someone that is key to your business. So if they lose, there is going to be a massive cost, whether it's emotional, physical, financial, whatever. they had actually heard about this somewhere else, but they said, did you know, or like, are we allowed to get life insurance on this key employee if the employee does not want us to? Kind of a really weird idea here, but they were looking at this and saying, this person is instrumental in our team. If this person leaves, it's going to make a financial impact, and we want to protect ourselves against this. What they were concerned about is, you know, and I kind of thought the right thing too of like, I can't really just go out and get life insurance on someone without notifying them. What they found out is for a key employee, and again, like someone could come and correct me if I'm wrong, but more or less, you do not need anyone's okay to get life insurance. Even the employees that know you're absolutely not getting life insurance on it, you can still go and insure that person. I will argue that there is probably not a whole lot of situations where you're unwillingly getting life insurance against someone. But again, you can go out there and you can do this stuff for a high paid employee, a low paid employee, really anyone. Can you go and get life insurance for a guy walking down the street that you looks really, really unhealthy? I don't think you can, but you can email me about that. If you really can go out there and you can get life insurance on a random person and someone does that as like an investing strategy, then fine. But what we're talking about here is that key employee in your business. You might be thinking to yourself, well, Hunt, why would I be getting a life insurance policy for the key employee? And does this come to me or does it go to the company? Great question. I'm going to answer your question with a question. How much would it cost you if you had a technician that passed away? How much would it cost you if you had a maintenance guy pass away? And then I'm going to give you the last one, which is if you had 5 locations and your general manager dies, how much would it cost you? For you guys thinking of like, man, that's a really weird idea to have life insurance on one of my employees. Maybe you're in option 1 or option 2. You just don't have that senior person. You handle a lot of the day-to-day businesses. And while any employee on your team is a key member, there is nothing as insurmountable where you would have a massive financial cost. Also, guys, remember that this stuff costs money too. So if you're like, yeah, Hunt, my tech leaving, right? If he was gone for a week, it's going to cost me $10,000. $10,000 is a lot of money, but if you're paying for life insurance, right, it wouldn't be that hard to eclipse that. What is the cost, right? What is the benefit of getting life insurance? The reason I kind of gave you those examples is to kind of illustrate that for a lot of you guys, a key employee life insurance policy does not make any sense from a business perspective. There's a cost to all of this stuff. You know, if no one is that insurmountable, like that necessary in your day-to-day process on it, then you might not have life insurance that you take out on someone. But this does not have to be self-serving. And usually once it gets away from the key man, it stops being self-serving. Because key employee is really just that. Like you have a key employee, you're going to ensure to make sure that this person's here. And if something does happen, dead, permanently incapacitated, that you will be financially rewarded for it. Again, really weird to wish on the downfall. But really what you're doing is you're hoping that you never use this stuff. And if something horrible does happen, at least a life insurance settlement might kind of appease some of this. But like I said, I have people that offer this. I don't see this a ton. A lot of bigger companies offer this as kind of a fringe benefit, but some of my clients offer life insurance or they pay for life insurance about every one of their teammates. There is like different philosophies on this, but if you have a relatively young team and you want to go out and get a $20,000 life insurance policy for all of them and you want to pay for it, it's not going to cost you very much money. Not that it's going to be free, but we're probably talking low double digits as far as monthly cost for this stuff. Super, super cool benefit. What is it? It's kind of just like dental, vision, anything else. Hope you guys never have to use this. Hope your family never has to use it. But, you know, again, a terrible, terrible, terrible situation. You have a technician pass away. Obviously, you're going to be upset. Obviously, the family's going to be upset on it. How cool would it be to, you know, have $20,000 coming from this life insurance to go to the family of this team member? Generally, in these smaller amounts, that's how people are doing this. It's kind of like a disability policy. But to say, no, this is not going to be something that is going to allow your family to never work again. But obviously, if you have, you know, one working spouse on there and something happens to it, this is at least going to hopefully bridge it over. This stuff is like really, really sad to think about. And if you're a positive person, you're probably going to never think that you need any of this stuff. And I generally like to think that I'm a positive person, but sometimes you just have to be a realist. And you also have to look at this from a peace of mind perspective. If you want to look at the life insurance business as a global business, it's never a good investment of your money, right? Because these life insurance companies make money. I'm going to give you $1,000. You know that you're going to hopefully pay out $900, $800 over the life of this. You guys profit. But again, if it was a complete ripoff, no one would do this stuff, right? There is someone making money. There is someone making profit on this. but there's people making profit on all kinds of stuff. They're selling peace of mind. They're selling guaranteed returns in a lot of situations. And they're selling certainty for some uncertain situations.
Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive, on the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit GoPromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry.
Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. This whole section, I was like kind of leery to even put it in here because I'm not an expert on this. But I thought that, again, this is really important to talk about types of life insurance policies because the next person that will probably talk to you about this is, like I said, someone that's selling it to you. When you look at life insurance, you really have two different kinds of life insurance. You have term life insurance or whole life. Whole life insurance, sometimes referred to as universal life insurance. There's a couple of other names, but essentially one is very basic and one can be very, very complicated. Let's start with the term insurance because really at the core of this, both of these are term insurance. Whole life and universal has something added on top of it. But the reason that they call it term life insurance is because it has a term. Super clever name on here. What is term life insurance and what do you need to know? Really, so you need to know three things on it. You need to know how long the term is, how much money the death benefit is going to be, and then how much the premium is. If you take a look at this and you say, hey, I'm going to get this life insurance policy for 10 years. It's going to cost me $1,000 a month or what, $12,000 a year, $120,000 over the whole life of it. And for something like that, you probably have $1 million to $3 million in policies. Let's say that you go full term on this. You survive for the next decade on it. What are you left with at 10 years and one day? Zero. You paid the insurance policy for the entire term. If something were to happen to you over that 10 years, you would have been paid $1 million, $2 million, whatever it was. But since you live to the end of it, term is over. If you want to renew, you can go get a new one, separate arrangement. The way that the premiums work on this, and again, if you have weird events, if all of a sudden you start smoking, skydiving, again, there's things to change this, but you lock it in. So there is a big, big, big advantage of getting this stuff before you think that you need it. I'm 37 years old. It is very, very, very easy for me to get life insurance. Every year that goes by, it gets harder and harder. If I go and get life insurance, how much would I pay for a 10-year plan versus if you're 67 years old and you go out and get life insurance? Is someone even going to give it to you? And if they will, how much is it going to cost you? There is a whole business in the accounting of the actuarial side of this. Again, super, super morbid. How long are your people going to live? Why is it more expensive if you're a smoker? Why is it more expensive if you do X, Y, and Z? Because they're trying to make money. As far as where do we see term life insurance, anything dealing with an employee, key employee, and stuff like that is going to be term life insurance. That is the most common thing to see on it. I don't think I generally have ever seen a whole life or universal policy that someone else was paying for. If you're paying for someone else's policy, it's generally term. And honestly, if I see life insurance policies on my clients' financials, 9 times out of 10, you know, maybe even 19 times out of 20, it is going to be term life insurance. I'm not a huge fan of it. I'll put that first and foremost. You guys are going to hear that by the sound of my voice, but I do not think that whole life and universal life insurance is the proper vehicle for most people. Again, like I said, if you sell this stuff, don't send me a message. I get the benefits. I'm not going to tell you it doesn't work for anyone. I'm going to tell you it does not work for most people. What is whole life or universal life insurance? It's essentially term life insurance plus. You have the term life insurance on it, plus you get a cash value, meaning that if you have a 20-year plan and you say 10 years into it that you want to be done with it, you can take money out of it. There's also borrowing money against it. Same idea of like, hey, it's going to have a cash value at some point. You can borrow against it. But it's got other benefits for maybe if you're permanently disabled. Plus, it's got other benefits like transferring coverage. Plus, it has a lot of other negatives. A lot higher fees, a whole lot of kind of fine print that might or might not be covered on this. And this is probably one of the most heavily sold things that we have as far as a package. If you want to go out there and you want to get your first sales job, most first sale jobs are selling life insurance. Are they selling term life insurance? Sure, if they can, but they're making way, 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 way more money off the whole life insurance. You might be saying, well, Hunt, I can tell you really don't like this. Why do people do this? People make a lot of decisions on it. I'm not going to get into the background of it, but I will tell you of like where this makes sense. Putting money into a term life insurance policy and then going to full term on it kind of stings because you paid a lot of money and you're happy to be alive after 10 or 20 years or whatever it is. But term life insurance by design is a really, really bad investment unless you think you're going to die. Like you're essentially putting money in there with the knowing of like, hey, this money is being thrown away and I'm going to be the happiest person ever to rip up this term policy. Whole life insurance and universal life insurance is a bit different where it's a lot more longer term and it's almost indefinite. You're going to be paying a lot higher dollar amounts, as you might imagine, because it has stuff over and above the regular term amounts. But by paying a higher dollar amount, you get a lot more flexibility, sometimes more benefits. It's kind of like in a retirement account. If you are only going to put $3,000 into an IRA, there's no reason to be in a 401k. It can do so many different things, but if you're not utilizing that stuff, the fees are super, super high and you're just shooting yourselves in the foot. Whole life and versus term life is probably the same exact idea. If you got a basic situation, you haven't maxed out all of your other retirement options on here and want coverage for 10 years, I'd probably be doing a term. If you're sitting there, you're very personally wealthy, you're doing the right things on retirement, looking to put even more money away for retirement and also protect yourself from a life insurance standpoint, that's generally we see the whole life policy. Both of these have one big thing that you have to be very careful about is, are you committed to pay that premium for the entire life? You guys have heard the nightmare stories, you know, grandma died, someone missed a premium by a day and they decline the coverage. Yeah. I mean, I've seen whole life insurance where people are spending $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month, paying this stuff for 5, 8, 9 years. Things get tight, stop paying it. Term goes default, cash value goes away, everything goes away. Guys, if you're going to do this, it's a big, big decision. It's a very, very long-term decision. Could it be the right one for you? Absolutely. Is term life probably the one that makes sense for you? Probably. Does it make sense for you to be in universal life, whole life policies? Maybe. But do your research. Again, there's no reason to have this stuff if you're not going to get a benefit out of it. It's not a status symbol. It's not a safety blanket. And like I said, hopefully you do not have to use this stuff. Or the other flip side of it, if you do want to use it, you want your family to get rich that way, maybe not a bad idea either. Before we get into, if you're listening to this, how you would take away from this and how you would figure out if you need this, how much you want and what the kind of questions are, we got to answer the quick question of, Hunt, can I write this off? Is life insurance a deduction? There are a handful of examples that do not follow this same script, but the general idea in the IRS's eyes is if someone's getting a deduction for it, someone is paying tax on it. And life insurance is the exact same way. There is intricacies on key employees, there's intricacies on family and all of this stuff. The general idea behind here is life insurance is almost never deducted. Monthly life insurance premiums are almost never deducted because if you deduct the premiums, then the death benefit becomes taxable. I had this argument with a client years ago on it because he was adamant to write off his life insurance. I explained this to him. He was pretty young. You're paying $1,200 a year. You're going to do this. I think it was a 10-year term policy. So over the life of this, we are going to pay $12,000. If we wrote all this stuff off, we'll get a $3,000 tax savings. His life insurance policy was for $500,000. If he was to get that life insurance policy, by nature of getting that $3,000 in tax savings, he'd probably have a $125,000 tax bill from the death benefit. If you write off the premiums, the benefit becomes taxable. The premiums are always so much smaller than the death benefit, because again, the death benefit doesn't happen for most people. That is generally just never written off. For key employees in specific situations where different people are the beneficiaries on it, yeah, it is in some situations. But let's say that you go out, you got an employee that you like, or you want to do this for all your employees, and you go out and you get $100,000 life insurance and all of them make them or their families a beneficiary. God forbid something happens to him. He passes away. Family gets a check for $100,000, zero tax liability, nothing to worry about. You might have had this decision in the past. Some accountants will actually give you this decision. Do you guys want to write it off or not? I guess I technically give my clients the same decision as well. But once they get educated on this, I don't think I've ever had a single one say yes. Can you write this off? Yes. Can this go through your business? Yes. Will it show up on the tax return? Yes. But it actually goes on a line that you guys might not have ever seen called non-deductible expenses. Really, the big two things or three things are on non-deductible expenses: political contributions, or really any sort of contributions like that, life insurance on it, and then like non-deductible meals and entertainment. So what the IRS is saying you can make deductions on stuff like this. It's not going to be a tax deduction. The political contributions are even a little bit of a weirder one. But the life insurance says, hey, this can come out of the business. We're just not taking a tax deduction. Same with the meals. You can write this off. You're just not going to get a tax deduction for it. If you're currently getting it written off, double check on this stuff. But a lot of people, when they hear that, are probably panicking. Man, I have life insurance on my profit and loss statement. We know. We see it. We don't write it off when we do your taxes. Thinking to yourself, well, hon, I've had a 10-year term policy on it. Last 5 years, I've been writing this thing off. Can't go back and undo what we've done in the past. I would not write it off going into the future. Also, I've never really seen anyone ever look at that because it's kind of two different places. You got a key employee that gets a life insurance on it. IRS doesn't even know where he worked or who paid for that. Again, not advocating for you guys to do anything wrong. But again, follow the letter of the law as much as you can, as you know it, right? A lot of people get like so hung up on this of like, I didn't know X, Y, and Z, and so they're going to come back. It's like the IRS is unreasonable in a ton of ways, but what they're really trying to do is trying to get you to follow the spirit of what they're doing. If you're knowingly doing something wrong, the IRS is going to be very mad at you. If you are trying to do everything in your power in the right way and you just were unaware of something, not that ignorance is an excuse, but a lot of times the IRS will look at that completely differently. All in all, how much life insurance and if you need life insurance comes down to a number of factors. And again, depending on where you are, this is going to change it. So I have five kind of questions here that I want you to be asking to yourself. I'll give you a little bit of context on here, but this is the kind of stuff on how you figure out what you need, how much you need, and where. The first and foremost thing and the most common thing that we see is banks requiring this. And so I'd ask yourself, how much debt do you have? Maybe that's personal debt, maybe that's business debt. But the reason why this is the most common thing is that a lot of people look at this and say, my heirs could survive, but they could not survive if they inherit my debt. Like if you have a piece of real estate, would you like your heirs to inherit that and still have to pay the mortgage? Or if you had a life insurance to cover that mortgage, would that be enough for your heir to maybe just live off of the rent money? Do you have an arrangement with the SBA where you bought out a business? Your spouse might be able to play landlord, collect money from a tenant, and pay the SBA for a real estate note. But do you even want them going into the business to try and run it to service that debt? Or do you want enough life insurance they never have to step foot in it? What do you ultimately want to do with this, right? Like, is this a rainy day fund that you hope that you never use? Or, like I mentioned before, in a situation of a whole life or universal life, do you want to protect yourself and make sure that you're getting, you know, death benefits and stuff like that, but also use this as a possible investment vehicle? Do you have a partner or spouse? Now I'm going to put kids in there too. Not to be mean, but if you are out there solo, who do you really care about leaving anything to, good or bad? So like, let's say I don't have any kids, I'm not married on it. Am I going to have a ton of life insurance? Probably not. And I'm going to make sure that no one that I know or care about is going to be encumbered by anything that I have. But I also don't need to leave a lasting legacy or leave a nest egg for these people to never have to work again. Now, the same flip side, let's say you are me in my shoes, 37 years old, I'm married, I have three kids. Do you think that I would need more life insurance than someone that was, you know, 30 years older than me, or maybe someone that's my age with no kids or not married? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this. And the last one on here is, how much money do you have? Because if you go down through and you argue what you got going on here, there could be an arrangement or there could be an argument for a lot of different things. But like a lot, it comes down to money. How much is this going to cost me? How much am I going to get on this? And then you're kind of playing statistics on how good or bad you think that those numbers are. At the end of the day, this is an insurance plan, which means statistically, it is a bad deal for you. If it was a good deal, no one would sell this stuff. That being said, it is insurance for the unexpected. Something terrible has happened to you, your key employee, or a family member. Do you think that you would ever question that $50 a month payment? Even on the term life insurance side, at the end of that 20-year term, do you really think that you're going to be mad that you wasted your money or glad to be alive and happy that your family was protected in case something did happen to you? Look at your situation, do your research, and figure out what makes sense for you and your team and your family. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a future episode, shoot me an email at podcast@parmalis.com. Just want to say thanks for listening on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. You can find the rest of the shows on a new Automotive Repair Podcast Network app and on the rest of your favorite podcast listening apps. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.